I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for all the way in can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart and join me. You'll be glad you did. This is All the Way In. Welcome. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm glad you're with us. Today is Friday, November the 6th, and we're kicking off our six-part HIV/AIDS interview series. Our series will give you information, empowerment, and clarity. If you know someone, love someone, or are someone who has HIV or AIDS, this is your series. I'm really excited about the dedicated and passionate people you will meet and hear during the next six programs. Today, we are coming to you from Florida with my guest, Dr. Gabby Cora. Dr. Cora, welcome to All the Way In.
Thank you, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'd like to start right off the bat by you telling us a little about you and your work.
Sure. I have been a medical doctor for 20 years, and my specialty area is psychiatry. Within psychiatry, I've focused more on mood and anxiety disorders with stress management and burnout prevention. And in addition to working as a medical doctor, I've also developed some great interest in business. So I've ended up trying to bring together, integrate health and wealth concepts for both the individual as well as the workplace. So a lot of what I do relates to health and wellness for the individual as well as health and wellness within the workplace.
That's perfect, because we all know that there's a lot of dysfunction that goes on in workplaces. And to be able to address that in a positive way is important too, you know? I have a couple of questions that are general, because what this show and what the series is about, it's about giving information that we don't usually hear. We're not going to go into a lot of detail, and we're going to focus mostly on people who are just learning about having HIV or and the people who would like to help as well. So if I could just throw a couple of general questions your way, and we'll take care of your wisdom. We'll really accept it. For instance, when HIV or AIDS is a factor in a person's life, do you think this will change the approach to providing mental health care?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is, well, first of all, let me congratulate you for what you're doing, because you've taken seriously the idea and the opportunity to help people who are experiencing either a new diagnosis of HIV, trying to help them cope, how they're going to do this, how they're going to communicate with their loved ones, how they're going to cope at work, and what they're going to do to take good care of themselves and stay as healthy as possible while preventing infections for other people.
Yes.
So I really want to first congratulate you,
for
your work. So in terms of a new diagnosis, you know, what do people do? You know, now they know that they may be infected, and what should they do?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything specific that you'd like for me to address with that?
Well, yes. For instance, if you are helping someone with their mental health care, would you tweak it in any particular way just to address some issues that might come up? For instance, when I researched my book and from the experience that I had, and have people are afraid to talk about having HIV or AIDS because of the stigma.
Yes.
And that isolates them from their family and their support group that's already in place. And in other words, they're separated from their support group while they're trying to get into new support groups and circles. So how would a mental health care professional tweak helping someone along those lines while they're making that transition, and even help them keep in contact with the support circle that they already have?
Absolutely. A good mental health practitioner will help the person understand the process which that same person is going through. You know, first of all, denial that there could be any problem, then being in shock once they may find out that they're HIV positive, then maybe feeling embarrassed and concerned about communicating this even to their very loved ones that they do care about, for fears of rejection, for fears of isolation. So the more that the mental health person can explain and can invite the person to go through these experiences and better understand, the better support they will get on a one-on-one as they try to continue to be as healthy as possible, as well as protecting their loved ones from getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be extremely important for a good mental health professional to avoid any judgment calls,
mm-hmm.
but to at the same time be there as a resource to explain that normal process when people are informed about certain conditions. Now, interestingly, HIV infection is one of those few infections where there's been all this hush-hush about communicating. And the problem with having done that from a health perspective is that, in a way, unfortunately, we're kind of putting pressure on that stigma ourselves as healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that we are able to open up and say, look, this is treatable, and it's important that you can prevent getting infected with other infections now,
mm-hmm.
and that you not only start taking good care of yourself and your health, but also make sure that you're also protecting your family members, your spouse, your loved one, your partner, and or your children or other people who may really be around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very important to do a combination of understanding that psychological process that comes in with some very, very practical health and wellness tips so that the person can feel back in control.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what happens with that fear and that stigma and that feeling embarrassed is the feeling of lack of control.
Mm-hmm.
And when, as a good mental health professional will hopefully help the person feel empowered again, with the things that they can do,
mm-hmm.
to continue to be as healthy as they possibly can, and so that they can also have this nice community approach where they can take care of others also.
Exactly. And I like what you say, do what you can do. Let's look at what you can do. Because a lot of times when we're feeling helpless and disconnected and cut off and ashamed, we tend to focus on what we can't do or haven't done or should have done. I like that. I like that very much. And when you're looking, for instance, you're looking for someone to help you with some of the issues when you first find out that you're HIV positive, it could be that some of the issues that you raise that a mental health care provider should be able to address are some of the questions that people might want to ask as they interview people to help. Does that make sense?
Sure. The best of styles that I prefer as a mental health provider, and having trained other people, whether they're medical doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, or social workers, is to avoid bombarding the person with a zillion questions and just have more of a nice conversation to ensure that the person's feeling as comfortable as possible in opening up and relate their experience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that usually happens, particularly with mental health professionals who are either in training or who may not have the experience, is they may want to go through a checklist.
Mm.
And that will keep the mental health professional away from connecting nicely with the person who's coming in to better understand what they are going through or what they need to go through once they've been diagnosed with HIV. So for the person who's experiencing going through the HIV process, it's important for them to keep their eyes open if this mental health professional is just, you know, giving them one question after the next.
Exactly.
They can kind of say, you know, can we chat for, you know, for a little while, and I'll be happy to answer to some of these other questions. And that's just a good technique from a psychological perspective that we usually use. If I have someone who comes in to see me, whether it's for HIV or for any other reason, and I just started asking them a zillion questions, that's going to put them, you know, them off to be able to open up, because they will actually end up responding yes or no. But
yeah,
we're not going to be able to really engage. And the more that the mental health professional can show that he or she really cares and that he or she is connecting with a person as a person, it will be a lot easier to help them out.
That is so, so important. Because, and I have to share something, I learned that lesson the hard way. I was one of those people as a chaplain at a place who did the check, because we were under, as always, you're under pressure to keep your grants or to justify why you're there or whatever. And I was new, doing what I was told to do, and I was one of those people. We do tend to fall into that category. Until I was called up short. I wrote about it in my book. It was very, very telling for me. And I learned, when I was changed, I found that most of the questions you ask, you can find out in conversation. You don't have to ask yes or no questions and put your distance between people that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, you learn, we all learn the hard way in
yeah.
a way, you know, and the more experienced we become, the easier it is to even just make a statement and have the other person engage in the conversation. And I've seen this happen, you know, many times. And unfortunately, it turns people off and they start shutting down. And then they stop even talking because they realize that the other person doesn't seem to be interested in their story.
Exactly.
So it is true that it does take more time, and sometimes it is hard in our day and age healthcare system where people may not have as much time, but at the same time, that can make a huge difference in the person who's coming in, who is afraid, who is in fear, who is embarrassed, who is not feeling well, who is worried about the future, and it could make a huge difference if the mental health professional is calm, is engaging, gives hope about what needs to be done, and can assure the person that they can work together on doing everything that they possibly can so that that person is as healthy as possible today as well as tomorrow.
Definitely, definitely. Let's move into, we've touched a little bit on disclosure. Let's talk a little bit about maybe gender and age and ethnicity. Do you notice any particular challenges that come with different groups, like older people or younger people or different orientation, sexual orientation or anything like that?
Sure. You know, initially when the outbreak started in the 80s, it was really mostly homosexuals who dealt with experiencing the disease, not only with HIV, but with full-blown AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
But as time has gone by, that group in particular has been pretty good at trying to prevent getting infected. Now, unfortunately, it's really many women and minority women who have been more exposed. And we have also seen elderly
mm-hmm.
getting more exposed, as well as younger adolescents who may engage in sexual activity at an earlier age. The interesting thing about all this is that the reasons why we should be concerned may be different. So, for example, a younger adolescent usually feels invincible. And because younger adolescents usually look healthy, they may not even think that someone may be infected.
Mm-hmm.
And in that group, there's a high level of denial. So even if they were infected, many kids would probably be somewhat hesitant to open up and share what's going on with them. So there's a little bit of a double concern there, the feeling of invincibility and the denial there as well, mm-hmm. which may be a little different from the elderly. Some of the elderly may engage in sexual activity, and they may not even think that someone else may be infected at their age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that would be another group to look at. And unfortunately, particularly with some minority groups and women who may be in a stable situation but may not necessarily know that their partner may be engaging in sexual activity elsewhere, so they wouldn't think about protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. That's why it is so important for women who want to have children to get themselves tested before getting pregnant so that they can take all the precautions that are needed to keep the baby as safe as possible, both during the pregnancy as well as after the delivery, like, for example, by avoiding breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's different reasons why different groups may need to be aware and concerned in different ways. And, of course, this is not even talking about the exposure if someone is using or sharing a syringe, if they're using drugs, you know, through syringes or shared syringes. That would be the other point to look at, which may be a little more obvious if they do know that their partners, for example, are using drugs. But sometimes people don't know.
That's true.
So that's where it becomes very important for, you know, women to know that if they have, if they fear, and this is for men and women, if they fear that their partner may not be loyal, it will be really up to them to be able to protect themselves and have safe sex, for example. Mm-hmm. And, of course, not sharing syringes would be a very important factor in terms of hospitals and transfusions. Hospitals do a lot of work to make sure that all their products and their equipment are well sterilized.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I'm thinking about, too, is I just got a tattoo not too long ago. And my first, maybe my last, I don't know. Really. But I did a lot of research before I did, because that's another area that we don't really think about. That could bring disease into your body that you don't want if you go to the wrong place. So there's a lot to think about. And one of the things I want to bring up in what you said just now is the elderly, the older people who have children. Your children can talk to you, and I want to talk to the young people out there. Talk to your mom, your dad, your grandfather, your grandmother. And, you know, find out what they know about protecting themselves. And I know it's hard to do. It's difficult to talk to your mother about, say, Mom, you know. But if it'll save a life, it'll save a life.
You raise a great point, which is, you know, grown kids who have their parents starting to date again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in different generations where it may be a lot more common for our generation to speak about sex,
mm-hmm.
than for our parents' generation. So after their shock, the next point would be, yes, it would make sense for me to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may not be used to that, but it may be good. I'm starting to date this wonderful man or woman,
mm-hmm.
But that wonderful man or woman may have had unprotected sex with other partners, and that would definitely put you at risk. So that's a great point. If children of you know, can tell their parents or their grandparents if they start dating, and I've heard those stories too of grandparents dating again,
yeah.
It would be very important for them to protect themselves so that they can enjoy their activities, but at the same time, they can also continue to enjoy their health.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we're going to take a one-minute break just for a minute, and we will be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit, if you're okay with that, mental illness and whether or not HIV or AIDS exaggerates any particular problems, and if it affects the brain in any way, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Great.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there?
I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No. Rachel found out John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah. She was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we are back, and we are talking with Dr. Gabby Cora, and I'm very, very glad to have you here. So let's continue our conversation. We're talking about HIV, AIDS, mental illness, and if there are any particular conditions that are exaggerated by the virus or having AIDS.
Well, one of the very important factors that we always keep in mind is the stress that some of these chronic conditions, and I would put this within a chronic condition, that people have to continue to care, just like if they had diabetes, okay, and they needed insulin.
Yeah.
So the stress that people may have just by virtue of knowing that they have a chronic condition would be something important to be considered. Now, the other important factor about stress is that if this person goes through a terrible time of stress for other reasons, if they have tons of pressures for whatever other reasons, that stress can make the HIV condition worse. Just like when we're too stressed out because we're too busy, things have become difficult, we have had some trouble with our loved ones, and that may affect us in terms of having more headaches, having more stomach aches, having more problems with our asthma, needing more medication for our high blood pressure, or having to compensate for diabetes. So this would be a very important factor of why people who have HIV or AIDS should really take good care of their stress and try to minimize it, as that stress on itself could trigger some other issues. So people with HIV who have this unremitting stress and who have not been able to control it may end up having more problems that may be related to that as well, which could include anxiety conditions and or depression.
Yeah.
So the anxiety and depression could come in as a consequence of that trigger. So in a way, you could kind of put it again within that pool of being related to that chronic condition. Now, on the other end, more advanced stages of AIDS could have some neurological problems in which the person may have both problems that are directly related with the brain and or their spine. Mm-hmm. The good news is we have many medications that help us, you know, really try to remain at a much earlier stage to try to prevent that other stage, which would be a little more severe. And the other thing that would be also important to think about is that in advanced AIDS, there may be other conditions that may come up because of that lack of immunity that could also manifest themselves with mental health related issues. So there's a combination of mental health problems that can come into play with HIV and the stress of having HIV, AIDS itself, as well as some of the other potential infections that could come with AIDS or cancers that could be associated with AIDS. So that's why it would be very important for the person to take good care of themselves, to treat that HIV as early on and consistently, and make sure that they're living a very healthy lifestyle, as well as trying to prevent stress by bringing in some great healthy habits of regular relaxation, meditation, prayer, things that the person can do to try to remain as relaxed as possible.
Yes, everything you said is wonderful. It really is. And very, very good advice and important information for people to have. When you talk about stress, one of the things that pops in my head is being separated from and not being able to talk with the people that you go to when you're stressed out. And a lot of times that happens when we first find out that we have HIV or AIDS. We are not able to go. I've seen people over and over who are very close, for instance, to a sister or to a brother, and they talk to them about everything except this. And that just adds to the stress. And one of the things I think that family members can do is to be available in a way and find out about the issue. Don't look at it as, I don't have it, it's not in my family, so, you know, I don't have to deal with that. Because you never know. You never know.
And you know, having that humanity from each and every one of us to give a helping hand is just so important. The person who avoids talking about their HIV condition doesn't talk and isolates him or herself out of fear, embarrassment, or fears of rejection overall. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to say, you know, I'm listening, I'm here, I'm not afraid, you know, I can help you, it makes a huge difference. And you know, going back to the stress factor there, when the person lives in that fear of rejection, they start isolating themselves, and that's when you can also see some of the depression kicking in. Yeah. Because they end up isolating, they end up feeling on their own, and it becomes a negative cycle where they don't go out for help, they just try to resolve it on their own, they feel bad about themselves, and they can't bounce back.
Exactly. I'm going to say one thing real quick, and that is to the people who are listening to us live, we will go past 30 minutes and you will lose us, but don't get upset because you will be able to download the full program on iTunes and at my website free of charge. So I just wanted to add that in there. Here's what I like to ask. What advice would you give to someone who is first processing? They're sitting in a chair and they've been hit with the news that they have HIV. What would you say to them right off the bat?
Well, the first and most important thing is that, you know, they have to have hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the news just shocked them, but it's now important for them to bring that control back to their lives. Educate themselves about what HIV is and what treatment they should get. Find help with either a mental health professional and or someone who can really help them as a healthcare provider to provide for both the support in terms of a more insightful way, as well as the practicalities of what needs to be done in terms of both medication management as well as going into a very healthy lifestyle. And if I may talk just a bit about that, it's going to be extremely important for that person to not only control their stress and learn of ways to relax, but they will also need to make sure that they're eating in a very healthy way, exercising with their bodies so that they can both continue to relax, but at the same time continue to produce biological energy so that they can be in better shape, and making sure that they can sleep well. So it's going to be extremely important for them to continue to have a very, very healthy lifestyle in that respect, continuing with a medical treatment and making sure that they have a plan of how they're going to chat about this with their loved ones, particularly if there's a spouse that they will want to protect,
mm-hmm.
And or other family members who may want to share their toothbrush, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it will be very important for them to see and feel more comfortable around how to communicate this with the people that they care about. Should they communicate this with the rest of the world? No, it's not necessary. That's really up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be important for them to try to not isolate themselves and open up with people who will not only care about them, but who also, you know, who they care about and want to protect also.
Exactly. Exactly. That you just gave me a great segue into what would you say to someone who is sitting on the couch or sitting in their favorite room and a family member or a loved one or a friend comes in and says, I have something to say, I've got HIV. What would you say to them?
And they want
to help.
Pardon me?
They want to be helpful as well.
Right. Well, the first thing is that person may be in shock and may be very surprised. And depending on the situation, they may also get upset depending on the case. If this is a spouse and the spouse was thinking that maybe their spouse was having affairs, then many questions may go through their minds. But hopefully they will have a relationship in which they will be able to say, I need a friend now. Or let me be your friend now. Let me see how I can help you. So there's two ways. One is that personal connection in terms of saying, I care for you, I'm your friend. And the other one is more of a practical one. What should we do next? Mm-hmm. Should I be tested also? Let me go help you so that I can have a better understanding of what we need for your treatment. So there may be different ways in which the person may react, but it is always helpful also for that person who hears the news to cope, to deal with in a very concrete way. Like, let me go with you to the doctor. Let's try to see what we need to do. Let's make sure that we understand and that we educate ourselves. They could start reading information together. Mm-hmm. The blessing and the curse of the internet is that there's so much information, but sometimes it's difficult to know what the right resources are. So, for example, checking on the CDC website may be important, or the NIH website, the National Institutes of Health. Try to go to federally run websites for general information. And so at least you have that part where you feel very, very comfortable understanding what's going on and what's the latest and greatest in terms of treatment and care.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's great, great, great. So as we wind down, and like I said, this will be available in full on iTunes, tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Well, thank you. I can be reached via my website, which is www.executivehealthwealth.com. Our number is 305-762-7632. So the easiest way for information is through the website.
Okay, that's great. And I would like to maybe even put you on our website. We have a resource page, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And if you have any questions, just let me know.
I will. I will. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You had a lot of good wisdom, and I appreciate you sharing it with us.
Well, you're doing a wonderful work, so I'm happy to have been a part of it.
Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure.
That's all I have for you today. This is All the Way In Radio for Friday morning, November the 6th. I'm Deborah Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember to live all the way in your life. Until next time, stay connected. Visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise.